very pleased that you are part of the podcast 360 Global Talent Management today. Welcome. I'm Sahar, founder, diversity coach, intercultural trainer, and speaker. This podcast covers topics related to leadership, work culture, DIB, and new work. It targets executives, leaders, people and culture professionals, CEOs, and anyone who is interested in building and strengthening a strong and open company culture. You will get direct insight and conversations with business professionals and experts from various backgrounds. Our conversation topic today is work culture and its influence on DIB, well-being, and new leadership. Many companies are struggling to establish a sustainable and trustful work culture. Complex business environments, including hybrid and flexible working options, make it more difficult to meet the expectations of the employees and teams. How can leaders address these topics? My guests today are Daniela Martin and Regina Reinhardt. I'm very happy to have both of you being part of our conversation. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you.
Prior to our conversation, we would like to share some details about our two guests. Let's get started with Daniela. Regina, you know her for a couple of years. I very much appreciate that Regina is introducing her to the audience.
Yes, I've known you, Daniela, for over 10 years now. You're a senior people and culture professional with over 25 years of various working experience in multicultural organizations, from which 15 years leadership roles. Most of your careers you spent in the US and in Switzerland, which is also now your home where you live with your family today. Recently, you completed a master thesis with a very interesting topic, which I will read out to make sure I don't miss anything. How people in culture and leaders can have a positive impact on talent retention under currently changing circumstances. Daniela, we have worked together in the past, and what makes you you, as I could feel, sense, see, experience, is that you are a true people person and with a very strong human-centric leadership approach. Finally, you, together with Sahar and myself, as we all three are mothers, you strive to build a positive and thriving future workplace for our children's generation.
Thank you, Regina. Now let me introduce Regina, who shares the time between Switzerland and Greece. I have known Regina for 2 years now. She has close to 20 years of self-employment experience. In her third career, as intercultural consultant and expert career coach. Prior to that, close to 20 years of employment experience, both in the private and public sector. Her friends call her network queen, as she loves to connect people across industries and regions. Thank you to both of you. Daniela, what is the role of the People and Culture Department when it comes to DEIB, diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging in the talent retention field?
Yes, thank you so much, Sahar, first of all, for having me here, and Regina for such a great introduction. I appreciate it very much. Diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging is such a current and such a broad topic. I'll try to give you my really key thoughts in this area, especially from the perspective of people and culture professionals. In my view, they have central and critical role in these initiatives. They're responsible for promoting and ensuring that the companies actually walk the talk in this area. As an example, oftentimes we see these wonderful and amazing diversity and inclusion statements on companies' websites that actually are quite theoretical and nice to have, and unfortunately not very well reflected in the practice. Therefore, there can be very actually serious consequences in the employer branding area, or not walking the talk in this area can cause people, potential employees, to be demotivated or to feel like there's some promise broken there. People and culture teams have the key role, again, in ensuring that DEIB practices are reflected in all aspects of the organization, from hiring, recruiting to offboarding. They have the important role in supporting the leadership team to learn how to go away from generalizing or stereotyping and how to use individual approach with their people. As a conclusion, people and culture teams have a main role to see what is stated on the company website will also be transferable in daily practice.
Can you maybe share, Daniela, thank you, what is the main challenge for people culture specialists in this area and what are possible solutions?
Yes, one of the main challenges starts actually at the top within the leadership rank. Oftentimes we see a lack of diversity, inclusion, equity, or belonging already among the leadership team, which causes, unfortunately, that there is a lack of understanding and prioritizing benefits of the EIB. This will lead also into weakness of people and culture team and their influential power within an organization. So where there is a failure to prioritize the EIB among the leadership level, where there might be some corporate culture resistance, there will be further challenges for people and culture team. Some of the examples might be that the people culture professionals will not have enough budget, for example, to pay for equal pay gaps. And there might be not enough budget to organize these great and useful trainings in the EIB area or organize employee benefits and so on. Possible solutions, definitely understanding that the people and cultural professionals have a very important role in DEIB initiatives, and this topic is actually with them. They need to think and act holistically, and in order to do that, they have to have a certain trust among the leadership team, and actually they have to have a seat at the table with decision makers. It's important also that people and culture team are already included in the beginning stages of brainstorming and creation of DEIB policies, because they do have the experience and knowledge and they represent the people. They can put people's needs forward in these brainstorming or creation sessions. And therefore, they can make sure that what is then on the website, what's, you know, is the talk among the leadership teams or within the policies is also practiced in real employees' life. And in order to earn this trust, and just want to mention that people and culture teams actually can do that by understanding the business. So in order to earn this place at the decision table, they need to step out of their comfort zone from their policies and daily practices and really become knowledgeable about the business.
Yes, it's a very, very holistic approach, right? That where it's important that people and culture professionals have a seat so they can also share insight and also make decisions which are strategic and important. So I also believe in that. And what I would love to add to that, it would very much help also building task forces where people and culture professionals are involved, but also people from other departments and hierarchies. So you have like an overall change mindset, which will then implement the changes that you discuss on the strategic level. And to do so, KPIs are important because we have to measure it. What have we changed? What did work well? What didn't work well? What do we need to do better? And only if we talk about those topics, we are able to improve. And what I believe is also very important, sometimes I experience there is much pressure on everyone, on the management level, on the CEO level, on the leadership level, but actually we can always ask for help. There are so many coaches and experts in various fields who can support us in topics that we don't feel comfortable enough, and we should do that. So that's something I would also think is important to think about during this DEIB process.
Yeah, and I'd like to add on to that, Sahar. First of all, thank you, Daniela, for drawing this picture because it's a huge, as you said, area. Something I'd like to add on here, what you said, Sahar, is when you say asking for help. And I think I'm not sure if the generation that implement, let's say, the traditional HR culture is able to really implement also the new DEIB culture. You know, so I would suggest to also bring in young talents that are more accustomed with the culture of diversity, inclusion. As for, let's say, me, who grown up with the other culture, it's a long learning process. You know, I cannot just switch and say, oh yeah, from tomorrow on, we're going to be all inclusive. We need to learn to do that. We need to go and educate ourselves. So these young generations, I see they have it much more natural in their portfolio, if you want. So it's a mindset change. And I think that's why it's really important that we all also learn also all, I mean, people who are in the people and culture setting, or for me as a coach, when I talk to young talents, I can see that there's another world there and they speak differently. So I think that's something to think about, at least. Thank you.
Yes, very important, Regina. Thank you for sharing the generational mixture of different generations, also bringing different insights and different expectations to the table, which will actually help to move forward more efficiently and effectively. And yes, I can absolutely agree that it doesn't help if we only have the traditional old generation, and because they think differently, they interact differently, they have also different experience, and we have to bring all the experience together so that we actually can improve. So thank you so much for sharing that very important insight. Let me move forward, Regina. You already brought some insight about generation and that we have to bring different people to the table so we can improve the topic. How does an employee recognize a healthy work culture?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Sahar. First of all, I think we need to draw a picture of what is health work culture. And of course, again, you know, we don't have endless time, but let me kind of put some deep corners here to how to define what is healthy culture. Something that I see from my experience with my clients is what is really important is to add value with what we do in our work, right? Or and tackle sometimes communal, national, or even global issues that are out there. Another thing, and that's what Daniela already touched, of course, is treating employees in an inclusive, respectful way, which is something that was not there when I started my career, for example. You know? And last but not least, the fourth aspect that I feel is really important is to create or to offer to an employee a safe place for talents or for these new employees that are coming in. So let me give you a couple of questions or topics that we look at when I work with clients who are about to start with a new employer or take a next step in their career. So usually I ask them in the beginning like two questions. And one is of them is, what is it that made a difference in their last employments that they had? The last one or the couple of last ones, what is it that they still remember? What they miss maybe also now that they're not with them anymore. So what makes it different? And that can be very small things. It can be that super great coffee machine, you know, which made because this person is a coffee lover and that made it all different, you know. And on the other side, there's another question which I think is as important, which is what is non-negotiable when you sort of think of your workplace of tomorrow or working with people tomorrow, you know. So aspects that are really, really, you know, that you cannot be without. So these are these two main questions. And then, of course, we go step by step and we look into how do you identify your ideal future healthy employer? So how do we do that? Because it sounds good and everybody wants a healthy employer, but what is it really? And how can we make sure even before we start working, when we start looking at new engagements, how can we identify that? So on a very high level, often organizations, they say, well, you know, quality standards, blah, blah, blah. What does that mean? So go and look at maybe certifications, ISO, ESG, B Corp, you name it, you know, in your industry, look at the quality standards that are there. And does this organization have that tackled? And then they usually put it on their website. And that is, of course, a quality standard. What you can also do, and I highly recommend, is to tap into your network. Go and talk to people who are already working in that organization, if you know any, or used to work there. LinkedIn is a very nice platform to help you if you don't have contacts directly, maybe find indirect second-grade contacts. Talk to former and present employees. Ask them your questions, you know, try to find out what works well, what is important for you. Yet you need to understand what is in place before you even apply. Sometimes you can also use evaluation platforms. They're usually regional. And even if they're negative evaluations, because that sometimes happens with angry former employers, they go and they put all their anger out there. But that can be a topic to bring into an interview conversation and ask and say, hey, I wrote this, you know, what about this? Is there something you can tell me? And just the reaction of that person, even if they can't reveal everything, can be interesting or can make a difference. The details of a healthy work culture, if you cut it down a bit, it. And I'm just going to list it because we don't have so much time, because that alone could fill a whole podcast. I'd just like to mention our aspects like diversity, we heard from Daniela, mistake culture, conflict handling, personal development, what career opportunities do I have? But I think that's even, has become a standard. But I also think like health support, health, physical, psychological health. Is there any service there? You know, the work concept, like part-time work, hybrid work, what is offered there? What can I choose from? Is there flexibility in respect to my personal daily rhythm? Because I might be a person that only wakes up at 12 at noon, you know, or even if I'm physically there, I get really productive in the afternoon. Is that respected in some way? The single parent, is there any childcare? Can I bring in my pets? These are all aspects that make my life as a future employee really can make such a difference in my life. And of course, payment is also very important. You know, what kind of payment culture is there? Performance-related bonuses, incentives. Last but not least, I'll come back to the conflict and delicate situation. Often when you ask, they say, yeah, we're dealing with that. And yeah, we're doing that. And yes, there is help and support. But go and ask very specifically, you know, what are the processes in place? Is there an internal person that is responsible? Are there third-party services like meditation or coaching or other services where I don't need to go to someone internally, but I can go to a neutral person to contact and to tackle my problem or my situation. That's from my side. I will close with a German proverb translated, look well before you leap. I understand an employment is nothing less than a temporary marriage, you know, and it makes it therefore so important that we look at those people we're going to work with and we're going to be with for the next, I don't know how many months and years. So have a close look before you take a choice.
I love how you say the temporary marriage. I can so much connect to it because, yeah, I mean, if you marry someone, you're going to look out for values and expectations, and you're going to discuss how the future is going to look like. Do we have similar approaches and perspectives? Where do we match, right? Are we matching? And I think you brought in a very, very insightful point of view about what we need to consider, really, from certifications, about thinking about what did I miss with my last employer, what would I love to have with a new employer. Having this kind of reflection about our business journey also helps us to figure out what is important and dear to us, so that we can also articulate it with the next employer to see, are we having same expectations of the working relationship? What I can also agree on, that is really one of my learnings, where I said, okay, Sarah, you could have done that much more better, right? I've also been to many interviews, have done my research on the homepage. But I think one of my biggest getaways is that when I go to a conversation, I will be prepared. What do I want? What do I expect? Are they able to offer these needs? Or maybe they have other expectations towards me. And I think there's big misunderstanding already in that, in this topic. So if we can communicate openly, it helps a lot on both sides. And I can also absolutely agree, the best thing to figure out how the company culture works is to talk people who are working there, or even better, who have terminated working there, because they will give you very authentic and honest feedback, and they will not do some wishy-washy, as we said, because they are not in dependency with the boss or with different departments. They have left, so they have nothing to lose. So speaking to people who have been in the company culture to figure out what is great there and what might be, maybe where's room for improvement, helps a lot to figure out a healthy employer as well.
This is really great. I think you both covered a lot of ground already. Not much more to add. I'd just like to reemphasize, Sahar, what you just mentioned now. Speaking from a perspective of from the human resources manager for over a decade now, and is sitting across the table, you know, the other side of the table when the candidates come for an interview, I'd like to reemphasize this daring to ask questions. Like you said, doing your homework, understanding what is that I'm looking for in an ideal employer, and how do I find out if there is a match? So first of all, asking yourself, what are my values? And does this company that I'm looking at as a prospective employer, what are their values? What is the mission statement? Asking the questions also, how do they live that in practice? Does that match actually my ideas? Examples can be social responsibility of the company. So definitely starting from the top level, and then also going into the questions such as remote working habits. Is this company rather a risk taker or rather a safe company? What are my working dynamics? What is my current situation? Am I, you know, looking to have certain flexibility because of the family, for example, or am I rather a person who loves to come to the office because there is the great coffee maker, like you mentioned, Regina? These are all very important questions that I would encourage to ask. Oftentimes people think, well, you know, if I ask too many questions or maybe wrong questions, this can come across as wrong and it might compromise my interview outcome. Not true. Actually, good questions or various questions are welcomed. They show certain curiosity. They show that the person is actually really interested in the job. And if there is a different kind of reaction from the other side of the table, from the employer, then that also shows that that might not be the right employer for you.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing also your human resources perspective and also giving room to that, to being courageous to ask. Because as you said, it's like there are two parties getting to know each other. The employer is getting to know the employee, but the employee is also getting to know the employer. So they have both room to ask and to reflect. Thank you so much. In our conversation, I believe it's important to define the role of leadership and discuss what kind of competencies are crucial to create a strong and healthy workplace. I mean, Regina, you already gave a big, big insight into that. But it would be important for me to question, what do we define as leadership? Leadership is about guiding and impacting a group of people to reach a desired outcome. To me, trustful leaders are role models. They take care of a group, they show actions, and they also inspire others to follow. There's a little survey I would like to share now in our group. It's from McKinsey, and it has been conducted with around 200,000 people, also worldwide with 81 organizations. And what was interesting was actually the outcome. There were like four types of behavior for leadership effectiveness. The first, being supportive. The second, operating with a strong results orientation. The third, allowing and seeking different perspectives. And the fourth, problem solving. So how can you solve problems efficiently and talk about them so we can solve them? Today is pretty, pretty complex. And if I figure out what kind of expectations I had or people have towards leaders or management, it's really high. I don't know how it's happened in the past, but there's so much on the table, what is expected you should know and how you should interact and what kind of skills you should bring to the table. So I believe for a good leader, it's important to know that there are different expectations. If we talk about employees, like the onboarding process, well, if I'm a new employee, I have different expectations than when I'm working there for a couple of years. This is going to change. We are going to evolve. We are human beings who have different kind of also motivations, desires, and also requirements. And there has to be room to talk about those topics. How can I progress here? Are there any possibilities? Or if I'm doing maybe mistakes, also giving room to open to psychological safe rooms where I feel comfortable stating those. And there's specifically many different leadership styles. But to me, what I have experienced is that mainly like the servant human-centric leadership style becomes more and more important. Why? Well, it focuses on gratitude, on empathy, also on vulnerability. And this is something, if I talk for myself, I would wish for. If I'm working somewhere, I would love to be open. I don't want to act a role. I want to be honest. And so there has to be room for that. And I'm strongly convinced that when you feel comfortable on a personal level, you are also going to perform and outperform on the professional level. So having good decision makings, outperforming, will only work out if people feel safe, feel included, and have the opportunities to also mention things that are not working very well. The real challenge today is leading employees in hybrid workplaces. So how can we do that? From my experience, of course, we can do many pulse surveys, we can have Zoom calls, but I believe we are humans and we also need the human connection. So as you said, Regina, there's the coffee break where we can meet and talk with each other, or there might be a meeting where we're going to brainstorm about innovative ideas. So creating a state of belonging and inclusion also needs that we see each other, talk with each other, and build relationships. And we can only do so if we are open on having different kind of flexible mindsets, what the employee that is working in our team actually needs. How about the two of you? Anything to add on?
Oh, thanks, Sarah. I think you really mentioned the really key takeaways when it comes to leaders and how actually what's the starting point for them and how to integrate these most current characteristics or competencies that they might have. The one thing I'd like to add on, it's actually reconfirming a couple of things that you've already said, is a fact that came out, actually characteristic that developed throughout my master thesis research over a period of 9 months through reading a lot of literature and also speaking to experts in the people and culture field. One main category that came out of that is a human-centric mindset. So starting with this mindset when it comes to leadership teams. And what this actually means, it's a lot of things that you've already mentioned: empathy, empowerment of the people, open-mindedness, managing by coaching approach, authenticity. Oftentimes I see leaders struggling because when they hear all of these great terms and words, they rather think, well, this is kind of a rather this soft skills area that I'm not very comfortable in. I'm here to work to get those KPIs fulfilled, to reach the goals, to meet the business needs. I thought about this and how can this be practiced actually in daily life of these very busy leadership teams is by really prioritizing and thinking of when they have the time with their teams, with the individuals on their teams, to think the equal kind of position as the business goals that are their KPIs. So prioritizing this time and being present. So when they prepare for these meetings, whether it's with a team or individually, to be present in the moment, to that will tune in into their listening skills. That will definitely then make them automatically practicing empathy, being authentic, empowering, also listening to the needs and to what actually their teams and their people have to say, you know, what their thoughts are. This will automatically turn them into all of these competencies that we're asking them to do. And there is no certain style that they need to follow if they're being authentic. They're really then, instead of talking and directing the team, that they also tune into the listening skills and understanding, actually engaging and empowering their team on their way to success. So that's the only one thing that I'd like to add to your list, Sahar. Thank you for letting me share.
I love what you said, Daniela. And actually, you know, as if you had read my mind. And I was just thinking about the three of us, actually, you know. I like what you said, the prioritizing the personal here and now with the business KPIs, if I just put it like that. You know, if I look at also our meetings preparing this podcast today, we were always taking the first round to see how are we today, what is in our mind, what is in our system. Because let's say something happened that really makes a difference with me in either way, you know, positive or maybe more painful way, that will have an influence on my performance, on my being. I might be more grumpy, or I might be not talkative, or I might be sad. And that, if you know these things, that will make a difference in the work quality that you produce in maybe 10 minutes later when you start working. So I really like that prioritizing the here and now, as you call it, what is now here and now, and the KPIs. And actually, I just would like to add on to that here and now. I think what I see, and maybe that is a generation, for sure it's a generational thing. If I look at, you know, I see also my younger son who is 25 and me being over 50, that's a very different approach, which is looking at my deficiencies and bringing them also to work, which needs this safe space that we talked before, you know, which needs courage, which needs support. That's why I need maybe sometimes a coaching or a mentoring or a psychological session or whatever it is, so I can feel safe to bring that in. And then also, I think this is when we get a very different quality of working together. At least this is what I'm experiencing. Also, I see from our own experience. And for me, a leader, Sahar, is someone that I like to follow and not necessarily somebody that tells me what to do. Because this is this thing of, you know, people who have something that I feel like, yeah, they have a vision. I want to come in and bring in my 5 talents that I have, 3 talents, and support this cause. So maybe, you know, have an environmental safer place or save some animals in the sea or whatever it is. It can also be a, you know, production of a product. But it's something that I like. I want to be with that team, with that cause, and support it. And I think a leader who role models this is someone who actually doesn't do that much, but kind of bond those people around them for a common cause, I may say. Thank you for letting me share this.
Of course, thank you for sharing. It's so important. You bring so much information to the table today. I feel so appreciated. And yes, for me, also leader, it's not something that is printed on a business card, right? It's something that will happen naturally because you trust the person and you believe in the common goal and the common purpose. And you just want to do it and you want to be part of this kind of process. So I absolutely agree that there also needs to be a mind shift change. What we define as a leader, to me, it might also be a neighbor that is living close to me. And he's just doing so much great work in the community. And to me, this person is a leader. So that's something, the social aspect also, what are we creating together is leadership, and also being able to see that is something I think I also have to practice still a lot to figure out who I see as a role model and leader. And as you also said, Daniela, thank you so much for saying that it is so important to be a good listener. Yes, it is so important to just sometimes be, not sometimes, actually, as often as possible, to be present in the moment. Because when you're present, then you're going to listen more carefully, will show another understanding and empathy level to the person you are talking to. And it is important to see that and also to give room to that and not always having the point of view, I have to run from one meeting to the other. Yes, I have, but they are still sessions I'm going to block on my calendar, which are really only for talking and experiencing how the other person is feeling, what we can improve, and being there. Thank you very much to the both of you. I would just like to end the session for today because we had so many different topics and I feel so grateful. One sentence to what Daniela said in the beginning, towards diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. That's my biggest takeaway. People and culture teams should be on the decision table. So when we're talking about those topics, we need to bring the people inside the room and don't exclude them because they have experience on that. And we have to see this experience and actually share it so we can improve. My biggest takeaway from you, Regina, well, a healthy employer, we can only experience when we actually try us to measure it. How can we measure it? There are certifications that can be gathered, but they are also people we can talk to. So talking to people, figuring out how they feel or how they felt in a company gives us already a very good idea of a healthy work employer. And the topic about leadership, well, leadership is an ongoing journey, and it will also differ from person to person. What we define as a leader, what Daniela might define as a leader, might be different from what I define as a leader. And that's also okay and good. But the biggest thing is that leaders are actually role models that inspire, and people are just naturally willing to follow, as you, Regina. Thank you very much to the listeners. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Stay tuned for more.